and I'd like to apologize for the delay in the start of the meeting. Because I know that we had a delay and it was on an ongoing matter that the committee is dealing with, which had not been scheduled, and because we didn't have time, I sort of wanted to take the opportunity to get a consultation from the members. So we have not started with the work which the SIU is coming to present on us this morning, and so I'd like to apologize for that. And I know that the chairperson of the parliamentary press group had contacted me, and I want to most profusely apologize. Our meetings are open meetings and we do not have closed meetings. I just needed to consult on a matter which colleagues had raised and we had been dealing with. So on that score, would like to apologize most profusely for the 20-minute delay in the start of the meeting. Let me take this opportunity, colleagues, to officially and formally welcome you to our meeting this morning, which is with the Special Investigating Unit. The delegation this morning is led by the head of unit, Ubaba Umtebi, and his team, to present to us an update on the PPE investigations. And Umtebi, we did receive your 117 odd slides, which your presentation this morning. My request is that we sort of cover the salient points, and then you will make a determination which is which, so that we do not dictate to you. And then, colleagues, we will interact with that presentation at the end. The second point I would like to make is that we have been briefed by the SIU on these matters previously, and we've been collating information, and I am quite certain that by the end of September, the committee report will have reached members for consideration as we all make input to it. So I think we will adopt our report on this matter by the end of September. And so today's meeting is very, very important that we have it, because it ties down on loose ends on certain aspects, so that we can then report to the House accordingly on this very tragic state of affairs of corruption which took place in so far as PPEs are concerned, which really cannot be characterized other than being a crime against humanity. And so we appreciate the work that the SIU has done and continues to do in investigating these matters. And we probably will be in a position to report to the House by the end of September. So Babum TV, we would like to welcome you and your delegation this morning, and then be squarely in your hands. I know that it is a lengthy presentation, and so we're starting at about 10. Let's see how far you go, and then we'll take it from there. So colleagues, I think that is in order and we're good to go. And then Stombi Putben, please enter the apologies of the members who are not present today, as they've already sent them into the record. So on that score, let us hand over then to the SIU to make the presentation to us, and then Advocate Umtebi, we will be in your hands and we'll guide time together as you cover the salient points. Colleagues, I hope you find that in order and that we are good to go. All right, Babu Umtebi, we are in your very capable hands.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. And thank you, Honorable members of the Select Committee on Public Accounts. We appreciate once more the opportunity to brief this committee and update the committee on the progress we are making with regard to the investigations into the PPE allegations of irregularity, corruption and maladministration that we've received. Honorable Chair, I am joined by my colleagues. We've invited all the provincial heads to be in the meeting. That really assists so that when there's specific questions relating to their provinces, that we shouldn't really reach back to them and promise the committee will revert back. So we wanted to now really be comprehensive and be able to provide responses, and they'll cover some of their areas at the end of the presentation. In the interest of time, Chair, I'm also joined by some of the executives. We'll introduce them as they get onto the floor to address some of the points. Chair, this presentation, as you correctly indicated, is really an update and on the progress that we have made. Can I just ask my colleague, Mr. Lesotho, to go to slide number 4, which we will not spend a lot of time on. Our mandate was presented before. This slide number 4 is really just to remind honorable members that these are the outcomes that we seek to achieve at all times. The main outcomes, of course, there's other related outcomes that we reach. Civil litigation, disciplinary action, prosecution outcomes, well, referral of evidence for prosecution decision and other regulatory authorities. There's also systemic recommendations that we make in between. And honorable members, this presentation today is really going to show that there has been quite a number of outcomes, and the most important focus going forward is going to be on ensuring that these outcomes are implemented so that we can achieve the consequence management that we look for and ensure that all those who are responsible are held to account in all of these buckets. Civil litigation, recover the money, cancel the contracts, disciplinary process, hold those officials to account, institute disciplinary action and impose the sanctions. Criminal referrals, you know, urge our colleagues at the NPA to make the decision whether to prosecute or not to prosecute, and to other regulatory authorities.
But
next. Yes.
My apologies for this interruption. The technical team just make sure that Parliament's output is displaying what we are seeing as well? There seems to be limitations in that regard. Sound and visual, please just check. There seems to be a technicality that they're not seeing what we are seeing. They are still stuck on the announcement that the meeting is going to happen. The notifications just come through.
Okay.
Just 1 second, Wumti. My apologies about this.
No problem. No problem, sir. Thank you.
Okay, we think let's proceed and we'll be updated further. Babum Tib, you can continue.
Okay, no, thank you, Chair. So I was just indicating that in the presentation, we'll be showing a whole lot of outcomes that we have reached, and the most important way forward and the focus is going to have to be on implementing and making sure that the outcomes are implemented. Next slide, Mr. Lopez. Honorable Chair, this message on this landing slide is that this briefing is based on the 5th progress report that was submitted to the Presidency on the 30th of June. The next progress report to the President, the 6th one, is due this Friday, which is the 3rd. So this the sixth report at any point when the committee can schedule us, we should be able to give that. So that report will be reaching the presidency on Friday. Except that, just to make a point, although it was submitted on the 30th of June, it's based on the cases as until the 31st of May. So the next report that goes on Friday would then be post 31st of May. So May, June, July, June, July, and August. So we should be able to present at the next time. But there's also an exception that the honorable committee members asked specifically for a briefing relating to the National Department of Health investigation, which now encompasses the investigation into the contract involving the company called Digital Vibes. So we have made an exception, and we have informed the Office of the President that although this is this wasn't part of the report of the 30th of June, the committee has really called for an update on this investigation. So we have included it, which we will cover later on in the presentation. Thank you. Next slide. Honorable Chair, the next slide, number 7 and 8, really we have presented them before. These are just the expenditure patterns from the National Treasury relating to COVID-19 relief spending. I won't go again through them. I just need to refer to slide number 9. Slide number 9, we are indicating there that while the total value being investigated by SIU is standing at 4.8 billion, and this is just to re-emphasize, this is the value of the irregular or alleged irregular contract that SIU is investigating. So of this value, already after the investigations, about 1.39 billion has already been referred to the special tribunal. That is the green bar on the bottom left. So the investigations has progressed such that already cases at the special tribunal, the contract value of those cases is 1.39 billion. And those cases are really being processed at the necessary speed by the special tribunal. We are pleased with that speed. Our chief legal counsel, Dr. Wells, will cover those cases later on. Next slide, please. Chair, as we've done before, as we investigate, we of course come across some of the limitations that we observe. These limitations were reported at the previous presentation. As we say in that slide there are no limitations that we have observed during the period of this report compared to the previous presentation that we have made. So we will therefore not spend time and go through them again in the interest of time, Chair. But I would like to refer to slide number 12 of these observations that we have made before. Slide number 12, the bottom, the last row. This last row deals with the witnesses fearing for victimization and or feel unsafe and are hesitant to be interviewed or provide statements and or evidence. So what we say as steps that we have taken, we have allowed witnesses to bring their legal representatives in the case where they really feel that they would not conduct their interviews or questioning themselves. In some instances, we sent even questions before, which they had to respond to and send it back to the investigating team. Now, with regard to the safety itself, one of the measures is to protect their identity and request them to report matters to the SIU and the SAPS when they feel unsafe. We have engaged with the affected witnesses and we advise them on their protection in terms of the Protected Disclosures Act and Witness Protection Program. Honorable Chair and honorable members, the reason why I pick up on this previous observation, which we continue to monitor and act upon, is because of this incident, this horrific incident that we experienced of the witness that was at the Department of Health in Gauteng, who was killed so brutally. And we are really pleased that the police acted swiftly and the perpetrators. So we look forward now to, you know, the investigation really continuing, as the Minister of Police has indicated publicly that we really need to know who the masterminds are behind all this. But the reason for picking on this, Chair, is to assure the committee that as the Special Investigating Unit, and of course working together with other law enforcement agencies, we take the safety of witnesses very seriously. Because it is only our cases stand or fall by the witnesses that we have. So we take the safety of the witnesses very, very serious, and we interact with them, indicate to them in instances where they feel unsafe, let them notify the investigators, and we will take action to make sure that they are protected, including invoking the witness protection program that falls under the NPA. Chair, I really wanted to focus on this so that we just reassure the committee that we have taken steps, and we have some examples which we have done before where witnesses have come forward and we have ensured that measures are taken to protect them. So we will continue to do that, and in many instances even be proactive to ensure that the witnesses are aware. Honorable Chair, those are the limitations that we have reported before. I'll not again go through them. I'll go to slide number 14. Number 14 deals with the observations that we make during the investigations. These are the observations in terms of the kind of irregularities, the methods used to perpetrate the irregularities or the corruption, the modus operandi that could have been used. We've covered those observations and we've presented to the committee before, and those observations are covered from slide number 15 to slide number 18. As we say on this slide, there are no new observations compared to the previous report. So we will not go to them in detail as we did before, but we are really welcome to take questions that the honorable members may have. Now, that really takes us to to the contract under investigation. That's slide number 20. Honorable Chair, as you can see, now this is the slide really that indicates the picture in summary of where we are with the progress of the investigation. The number of PPE contracts awarded for COVID-19 related services under investigation by the SIU are currently standing at 4,302. These contracts were awarded to about 2,421 service providers. as we say there, by number of contracts. If we use the number of contracts to calculate the percentage, about 30% of these contracts have been finalized. 62% are currently ongoing. We apologize there, we are not assessing them. They are ongoing in the investigations. And only 7.9 have yet to commence. And remember, this is as at the 30th of June, based on the cases by the end of May. So in the next report, we expect to see quite an improved picture, because based on the undertaking we made, that we would like to conclude the contracts that are in our books as at May, June, we would like to ensure that all of those are finalized by the end of August. So the next report will show quite an improved picture. I need to just say, though, that as we do the internal reviews of these investigations, there has been indications from some of our colleagues in some of the provinces that COVID-19 has disrupted the investigations, but we will quantify those disruptions. But also there's contracts that are still to commence. But Chair and Honourable Members, there is a reality that we could not avoid, and we have said it before, that we continue to receive allegations. And that's the reality. And in the next report, I've advised the reporting team internally that we need to split out so that the committee can see that as at the time of the reporting, what is the percentage of the new investigations that we have, or new allegations we have received? So these new cases keep on being added to the number of ongoing investigations, and now it skews the picture as if, you know, the traction is not as quick as we expect. But as I indicate, that we spoke internally about this. It was late until when we were about to present this presentation. Otherwise, we could work out and split out the new allegations so that a picture is clear on where we are with the investigations that were on our books. The next two slides really is just a geographical depiction of the finalized matters per province, which we will report on later on. And the next slide is a geographical depiction of ongoing matters. Okay, I won't spend a lot of time, but just to demonstrate the point I was making earlier on, if you look at the Gauteng province, Gauteng province is reporting, we are reporting there that as at the time of this report, there were about 1,813 contracts that were still being investigated to the value of about 5 billion, right? Now, if you compare with the previous report we presented to the committee, as at the 2nd of June when we were presenting, Gauteng was reporting 1,832 and to the value of 5.6 billion. Now, these at around June thereabout, we received a whole number of investigations from the Department of Education in Gauteng, which we had to investigate, and that number was added. So it has really truncated the number upwards. But as I say, we will make sure that we do the numbers such that we split out the new allegations that we receive in between. Another example is the Eastern Cape. The Eastern Cape from the last report was showing 61 contracts still ongoing. Now, this report is showing 87. So it's an upward trend where we really expect a downward trend. But that, again, is explained by this new investigation that gets started in between, and also some of the matters that are still yet to commence. I really wanted to make that point to the Honorable Committee so that the picture is clearly explained. I'm sorry. The next slide. Next slide, Honorable Chair, now deal with the outcomes. As I said, this presentation, because of the time where we are, we have progressed this investigation such that we are now seeing an increase in the outcomes in the referrals. The most important part is going to be now to monitor the implementation of these referrals so that we achieve the impact that we would like to see. We will start off now with the civil litigation matters that has been referred to the special tribunal. Some of them were in the high courts. Just to give the Honorable Committee an update of where we are and some of the recoveries that we are making and the cases that are still pending at the special tribunal. At this stage, Honorable Chair, with your permission, I will ask my colleague, Dr. Wells, to come on to the stage. Dr. Wells, please remember to put on your camera as it's required for the proceedings. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Member, Honourable Chair. Can you see me?
Yes, we can. You may proceed.
Thank you. Honourable Chair, I will deal with the slide number 23 up until and including slide 45. Now, commencing on slide 23, just a quick introduction. This will deal with matters that have subsequently been instituted at this special tribunal, subsequent to the last presentation to this forum. So I will commence on slide 24. The first one is SIU versus JOSCO. And you will note that the update on that is that we will apply for a case management on the 7th of September in that case. The second one is also a matter that we applied for. That is a preservation order that has subsequently, the SIU has filed a review application, which in short means that we are applying to set the contract aside and claim for losses suffered. But whilst that has happened, the SIU has also been able to preserve assets in the amount of 22 million rand as indicated there. So that matter has been set down for trial in the special tribunal for 24 to 25 November 2021. The third matter is the SIU that we are joining the National Health Laboratory Services Chair. That matter was on the roll on the 31st. I will be able to give an indication in that respect, Chair and Honourable Members, once I have confirmation of that order has been served. But the relief sought there is also a preservation order. Chair, this matter number four has been referred to previously by the HOU. The SIU will apply for a case management in this case on the 16th of September 2021. In this case, it's also a matter of the contract having to be set aside and damages to be claimed. You will note that there was previously a preservation order also preserving assets to the tune of 22 million rand. Now, Chair, in terms of the new matters following from number 5 to number 22, I will deal as one because all those matters emanate from the KZN DSD. It all concerns PPE procurement, which was conducted in an irregular and unlawful manner. The SAU is then claiming for the contracts to be set aside and for damages in each of those matters, as I mentioned, from 5 to 22. You will note that the most recent update on that is that we are in the process of filing or serving the documents. Pleadings will be exchanged, and we will be applying for a case management date on the 8th September 2021. I will then move to slide number 30. These are the two loss matters that were enrolled recently in the special tribunal. The number 23 deals with the preservation and restraint of a pension fund. The SIU has successfully done that, and the SIU must now issue a summons to claim for the quantified damages suffered as a result of the alleged unlawful conduct of the official. The other matter, number 24, is SIU versus Kanga. That is a matter where we're also claiming for the setting aside of the contract and claiming of damages. In this case, we're also waiting on the word there, DH, is just another word for we're waiting for the prescribed period set by the court to expire, which will happen on the 14th of September 2021. So the expiration of that time period will then allow the SIU to take further steps in the process of processing of the matter. The next category, Chair and Honourable Members, slide number 31. This is matters that have previously been reported on to SCOPA. And I will just do a update because it has been dealt with in quite detail. So I will then proceed to slide number 32. Unfortunately, these are not numbered, so I will deal with the Western Cape matter, that is the Matsikama matter, because the first one is finalized. In this case, Chair, we're waiting a feedback from the registrar to confirm the hearing date. So the matter I will return to the third category. In this matter, the SIU has joined the proceedings where the service provider issued summons against the department and the municipality, and we will certainly then proceed on the basis of opposing and defending the action instituted, and as well seek the relief of setting that contract aside and claim additional damages in the form of counterclaims. Now, Chair, I will then follow, and you will see that on slide 33, we mentioned that these are the matters that have been reported on already and instituted in the special tribunal. The first matter that is finalized, the OR Tambo door-to-door case number 2 on the slide. In that matter, the respondents have successfully applied for the judgment to be rescinded. So that matter will be converted into a trial where witnesses will have to testify. In the Alanani matter, that is clear. The last sentence indicates that matter has been set down for hearing on 20 to 27 September 2021. Number 4, you will note that judgment has been reserved by the special tribunal. Now, dealing with number 5, I will then move to slide number 36 because that would be a summary of that matter. And you will note the last two paragraphs that the applications for leave to appeal by the respondents were dismissed by the special tribunal. And there is a matter pending in the appeal court, which we await the dates from the registrar. Number six, Chair, you will note that this matter has now been set down for trial for 19 October to 29 October. In this matter, number seven, the hearing has been set down for 9 to 10 September. Number eight, we will apply for a case management date in this case on the 16th of September, 2021. Maybe I must just explain at this point in time what case management means. Is that the SIU then applies for a date through its legal representatives to the judge, and then the judge will direct how the matter will proceed in the special tribunal. Number nine, on slide number 38, there's also a hearing date, 11th to 12th November, 2021. Chair, number 10, this is a matter where the court, where the SIU will apply for a hearing date. This matter is unopposed, I am advised, so the date will be applied for on the 3rd of September, 2021. Now, number 11, Chair, that I must just add has recently been consolidated by the judge on the 27th of August, and this matter will be heard on the 24th to 25th November. That date has not been included because the report was as at 27th of August. Number 12, Chair, that there's a trial date, 4 to 8 October 2021. That matter is specifically dealing with the border fence matter. Number 13 is also an update which indicates that the trial dates, hearing dates have been established and determined for 22 to 26 November. Chair number 14 is finalized in terms of that acknowledged the respondent agreed to pay the amount of 864 in terms of losses suffered. In terms of number 15, Chair, this matter is being opposed and we will apply for case management on the 3rd of September 2021. Number 16 on slide number 41. The matter is being opposed, Chair, and we will apply for a case management date there as well. Number 17 has been settled and the respondent paid the amount of 718,550. That is the amount quantified as losses suffered by the department. In both these cases of number 15 and 17, the contracts were duly set aside. Number 18, Chair. I think that has been extensive, that has been previously reported on. And number 19 is just to confirm that there's a hearing date for this matter set down on the 4th to 8th October 2021 in the Special Tribunal. Chair, I will then move to the next category. These are orders granted by the Special Tribunal. Now, I will move to slide number 44 and now, Chair, these I must add that these are orders granted in terms of which would relate to the following. It's either that the department is interdicted from making further payments, or that the contracts have been set aside, or that, like we say, that the contract has been reviewed and it's subject then to civil litigation in terms of the SIU or the department having to prove the damages. So for purposes of these matters, you will note that the first one is FABCOM, where the contract has been set aside. The door-to-door was already mentioned. Contract was also set aside, but now last week the Special Tribunal has rescinded that matter. The number three, the Ledla matter, we are waiting dates from the SEA. For the appeal that was submitted directly to the Supreme Court of Appeal. I've previously dealt with the KZN matters in previous slide, but just for completeness sake, this number four is finalized. Number five has been, we can apply for case management. Number six, Similarly, we will apply for case management. That is on slide number 45. And number 7, that has been finalized. Number 8, as previously indicated, that order was granted. That is a preservation for the pension fund. Now, Chair, this slide will give us an indication of that the orders granted to date and the value of the contracts is approximately 174.5 million rand. I must stress this is the contract value that is the subject of the litigation. Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Wells. Honorable Chair, just to re-emphasize that at the rate at which we see the cases being enrolled and being adjudicated upon, we should really start seeing now the orders coming in, and those orders, the legal team internally is on instruction to ensure that those orders are executed and are turned into money that can be taken back to the state institutions, recovered and paid back to the state. So in that regard, we really see the special tribunal really fulfilling the objective and the purpose for which it was established to ensure that these matters are adjudicated speedily. On an unrelated case, we saw how speedily they adjudicated in the Transnet, one of the Transnet matters. Yesterday, a Transnet executive was ordered to pay back an amount of about 26 million. And the approach of freezing the assets and the pensions and the accounts really helps us, because in all these instances, when the orders are made, we are able to go back to what we have freezed so that we have got recourse to those assets, so that the assets are not and the monies are not dissipated in the process while we are still taking the legal steps to ensure that they are legally recovered. So we are really pleased to see the results from the special tribunal, as we have indicated. So the next part of the outcomes is the, we call them the steps taken, but it's the outcomes now relating to the disciplinary action or the referral for disciplinary action, and what the state institutions at all levels, which we would have referred to, what have they done to implement the referrals for disciplinary action. Honorable Chair, honorable members, you would have gone through the report and just realized the global picture in this regard. Can you go to the next slide, please? This slide number 47 to number 49, they deal with the number of new referrals for disciplinary action against officials since the last report. But you'll see, even in the last ones that we have reported, which I will come to, the pace and the speed at which these matters are attended to, it's really worrisome. We really concerned that the matters are not attended to speedily, and we would like to urge. And as we do follow up and urge the state institutions to implement the consequence management on the officials that are found to have committed the wrongdoing. Now, on that slide number 47, we have referred matters in the Eastern Cape Department of Transport, Gauteng Department of Health, and KZN Department of Education. And as you can see there, the date of the referrals It's April 21, May 21, and well, the last one is also May 2021. And the levels, as we always do, they range from the junior officials, middle management, and senior management. We've articulated the charges there. In the main, the charges really range from the first one being the contravention of the Code of Conduct and the contravention of the Public Service Act. The next one being the contravention of the Public Finance Management Act. And the next one really being around the contravention of PAKOKA. And on the last side, we are giving the progress. And this progress is given by all these colleagues that are attending with me in the provinces. They do follow up on an ongoing basis to ensure that the state institutions do act on these referrals. We have given the update there. On the first one, no disciplinary action has yet been instituted against the official. However, the department advised that the matter is currently being assessed by Labor Relations Office. So there is some attention being given, but I indicated that the pace at which it's given, and I'm mindful that there's a fair process that needs to be invoked, but really the speed of taking action will only help deter those would-be wrongdoers. The second one, we have been, SIU has been informed that the Gauteng Department of Health is considering the evidence file that has been presented. So is the third one, and the fourth one there, the matter has been finalized. You know, in some instances, yes, we need to give acknowledgement where matters has been attended to. On this third one is the Gauteng Department of Health senior manager. We've been informed that the official was found guilty and has been dismissed. We're really pleased to see that. On the last one, on page 47, the charges are to be drafted against both officials. So, Honorable Chair, this is the trend that we are seeing. As I say, there is no attention being given, but we really want to see the pace being speeded up. Slide 48. On slide 48, we have referred new evidence in the last report to the following state institutions: Umgeni Local Municipality, and then Limpopo Department of Health, and then Mpumalanga Department of Education, and Mpumalanga Economic Growth Agency. Again, the number of referrals there and the date on which they've been referred, and we've got the levels of management. As you can see, it's quite senior management in many instances. So the sooner we act on these senior managers who are involved, the sooner we will send the message and the impact made that this is not acceptable and consequence management will be meted out. So we have been given, as we follow up on the right hand side, the progress to date. On Umgeni, the matter has been received by the mayor and has been tabled before the municipal council. The SIU has received verbal confirmation that the municipal manager is being suspended and is waiting for written confirmation. On Limpopo, the matter has been handed over to a service provider who is appointed as initiator to the process. So, as you can see, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, that progress is really being made, but really at a slow pace. Slide 49. Again, similarly, since the last report, we've referred matters to the City of Matosana Local Municipality, Northwest Department of Education, and the Municipal Office of J.B. Marks. Again, the date and the number of referrals, the date, the level of officials, and the charges that they face, and we have provided progress. On the first one, we have seen there that the official has resigned from the municipality, although there's a criminal referral to be made against that official. And I will urge the officials in the SIU office in the Northwest to ensure that we are consistent and follow up on the pension of the resigned official. And the Northwest Department of Education, again, the update there is lawyers have been confirmed that they will consult with SIU in the preparation of the hearing. The disciplinary hearing against the said official will be set down after the hearing of the second. So, yeah, so it looks like some attention has been given, but yeah, we are seeing there that in some instances they prefer to start with the one official and not the other. We're really not so certain what informs that, but we continue to follow up. In the last column, the official has been suspended and the SIU will be informed when the disciplinary hearing will commence. So since the last report, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, there's been about 39 officials which we have referred for disciplinary action, and we really expect that action should be taken against those. Now, the next few slides, which is around the disciplinary actions for action against the officials, which is slide number 50 to slide number 58. Honorable Chair, just in line with your directive that we look at the salient features, these ones we've covered before. We've covered before and we have given the progress update in terms of where the matters are. And without really regurgitating them again in detail, just generally we have observed again that the pace at which they are addressed, it's really very, very, very slow. And we would as the SCOPA indicated at the last hearing, that some of these state institutions could really be called to account in terms of where they are with the implementation of this consequence management. Just to state maybe a few on slide, go back to slide 50, please. Apologies, Honorable Chair. I think my colleague just slided down to show the numbers. On slide 50, you'll see there that the evidence was presented to the chairperson and the CEO of the Amatola Water Board on the 9th of March. Right? And we consulted with the initiator on the 30th of June. And the case was postponed to the 2nd of July at the offices of the Amatola Water Board. Right? On the day of the hearing, the chairperson received a medical certificate from the official and the matter was postponed to the 23rd of July. The disciplinary proceedings were concluded and the chairperson will be submitting a verdict. So as they start with the processes, they sometimes experience the delays. On the next one, the matter has been postponed after it was started to the 29th of September. On the next one, which is the Department of Education, the process is awaiting closing arguments, so which shows that the matter has really started. On the next one, which is the Department of Health, the matter was the referral was made to the Office of the Premier, and no disciplinary action has yet to be instituted. SIU is awaiting a formal response from the HOD of the Eastern Cape Department of Health and State Law Advisor. So, Honorable Chair, in the interest of time, this is the trend. We have provided the committee with some updates where we could get it as we follow up with the state institutions. So with your permission, Chair, we can take questions on this old matters, which we have given update, as I indicated. They are from slide number 50 up to slide number 58. We have reported on them before, and we've given some update on where they are according to the state institutions which have been contacted. And as you can see there, the old matters are 88. So as at the time of this report, the new matters, and slide down to slide 58, please. That's where we're showing the total and the grand total. The total of the old matters is 88 officials, plus the new matters that we reported. We are sitting at 127 officials that could be taken through the disciplinary action and sanctions been given, and we ensure that there's appropriate consequence management in the system. And Chair, we will really urge the state institutions to move and move with speed to institute the disciplinary actions. The next slide, slide number 59, are the new referrals of evidence of criminal matters to the NPA. After the last report, we've referred criminal matters to a number of about 66. In the Free State Provincial Treasury, we referred about 54, and that's the date of the referral there, April 21, against the entities and directors. And the charges there are fraud, alternatively, forgery and uttering. Houghton Department of Health, it's a charge against the senior manager who committed financial misconduct. In KZN Department of Education, there's about 5 referrals against entities and directors. That evidence was referred on the 31st of May, 2021. Still in the KZN Department of Education, a further 4 referrals were made against the entity and the director and senior management and the junior official in the department. And then the last one is Ngeni, is against the senior manager, contravention of the Municipal Finance Management Act. So Honorable Chair, there's various charges that we have included in the evidence pack to the NPA, so that they can apply their minds and make a decision. The progress to date, we do the same with the NPA and we follow up. We have been informed in all of these matters that the prosecutors have been allocated. And Chair, we are of the view that at the next occasion when the NPA appears at SCOPA as they did before, they will give an update on where these matters are. The next slide, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, it's slide number 60 to number 65. these are the matters that we reported at the last presentation. These are the matters that we referred to the NPA for action. And when the NPA appeared the last time, they did give an update to the Honorable Committee on where the matters are. We, of course, continue to expect that there will be speedy prosecution in the same way as we expect the disciplinary actions to be taken. We expect now speedy prosecution for obvious reasons that we would like the public to see that those who are in the wrong and those who committed crimes in the process are prosecuted and convicted and sentenced ultimately. So that is our anticipation, and we work closely with our colleagues in the NPA. We collaborate in the sense that if they need further evidence from our side, We do provide it, but more often we also pull in and cooperate with the HOCS, the DPCI, to ensure that all those further investigations that are required by the NPA are done. And that is why on the last occasion, when NPA and HOCS appeared, they gave an update. So Chair, with your permission, I will not go through the old matters that we reported on, that we referred to the NPA. Those are from slide number 60 to slide number 65. I'll move over now to slide number 66. Excuse me. These are the referrals made for executive action. Referrals for executive action really refers to where action is required to be taken against the executive authority of the responsible for the specific department. These matters, I think we reported on before at the last presentation. We did report about the former MEC of Eastern Cape and the former MEC of Gauteng and the mayor of JB Marks. The first two really have really been finalized. And the last one, the mayor there, we were informed that he resigned. But again, similarly, we would like to ensure that we are consistent and ensure that the pension payouts also are withheld pending the finalization of any assessment that he would not have contributed to the damages that has been caused or the losses caused to the municipality. Honorable Chair, as we indicated, the new one really after the last time we appeared. Of course, it's not in the period of the reporting, but we have included that report later. It's in the National Department of Health. There was one referral against the executive authority responsible for the National Department of Health, which is the former minister. And that part has been looked at, and we saw that the minister resigned ahead of the action being taken. Now the next slide would like to just indicate to the honorable committee that we are in the process of ensuring that all the accounting officers and accounting authorities of the department where we have found irregularities, we are ensuring that those accounting officers and accounting authorities are held to account, and we do so in terms of the provisions of the Public Finance Management Act and the Public Finance Management Act and other applicable rules and regulations. So when that process is concluded, we will report accordingly to the honorable committee. So we are approaching them in terms of the PFMA and MFMA, and we expect them to then indicate how the irregularities occurred when they had the responsibilities outlined in those legislations. We will then report at a later stage, once they have responded. Honorable Chair, we indicated before that we are also ensuring that there is what's called administrative action, amongst others, that includes the blacklisting of this service provider. Because as hard as we act on the officials, and we should also act hard similarly to the private sector companies that are involved in these wrongdoings. So
What do we do? As we have reported before to SCOPA, that we ensure that those entities are identified and we put together the evidence material and we refer them to appropriate regulators or authorities so that action can be taken to ensure that they are restrained either from a procurement perspective or that there are regulatory sanctions that are imposed on them depending on the regulatory infractions that they would have committed. So the new referrals since the last report, Honorable Chair, are on slide number 68 and slide 69. These are a number of new referrals made for administrative action. This would include blacklisting. These are the ones we reporting since the last appearance. In the Free State, Provincial Treasury, we referred about, we made 54 referrals, and there we have found that, you know, there's fraud that was committed by those entities, and this would also have been included in the criminal referrals. So we've also referred them for blacklisting. Similarly, in the Gauteng, we have referred further 15 in terms of the Competition Act so that the Competition Commission can apply their minds and ensure that actions are taken. Again, in the Department of Health, we've made 9 referrals to the South African Health Product Regulatory Authority, SAHPRA, so that actions can be taken. Next slide, 69. It's a continuation of the new referrals for administrative action. In KwaZulu-Natal, Department of Education, 21 referrals were made to SAHPRA. Again, KZN, 2 matters were referred. We also found that there's fraud being committed there, and those would be referred for blacklisting as well. In the KwaDukuza local municipality, there's 8 referrals that we have made to SAHPRA, and also NPA referrals have been made. So the new ones that we have made, Honorable Chair, are about 109 referrals that we have made. The old ones that the ones that we have made in the previous report are on slide number 70 to slide number 72. If you go to slide number 72, it shows the grand total of the new ones and the ones that we reported on before. It's about 196 referrals that we made. So Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, as I indicated, we will continue to make sure that we follow up so that all of these sanctions are meted out as required. Right. The next slide deals with the rand value of potential cash that's recoverable. By potential cash, at the bottom of the slide there, we have explained, and these are the new ones that we have reported since the last report. In the Eastern Cape Department of Education, an acknowledgement of debt was signed to the value of 98,000. Gauteng Department of Education, we have received a freezing order, and Dr. Wells would have covered that. We included it here because it's also a potential recovery. We're freezing it for purposes of recovering from it, and that's to the amount of 65.6 million. And then in KZN, Department of Education, 1 acknowledgement of debt to the value of 41,000. Mpumalanga, Department of Social Development, 1 acknowledgement of debt to the tune of 59,000. The overall amount is 65.8 million that we will potentially recover from. and we'll report on that on the next appearance. Honorable Chair, honorable members, the matters that we reported on before of the potential cash are covered on slide number 74 to 76. So this would have been the ones that we reported on before to the amount of 378 million. So all these matters, they would most of them either have been on the acknowledgement of debt basis and will continue to show where they have really been paid, because an acknowledgement of debt is one. It's one thing. We must make sure that it is paid. As we continue to report, we will ensure that we include a column that shows that those matters have now been paid or they're not paid. And failure to pay as undertaken, then will lead to a civil litigation process, court process, to ensure that we get the payment. But some of them would have been covered in the special tribunal report reported on by Dr. Wells. That takes me now to slide number 77, which deals with the rent value of actual cash and or assets recovered since the last report. Those have been mainly around, these are really now where we show that from the time the acknowledgement of debts have been signed, which ones have been paid. In KZN, there's been payment of AODs, and in Mpumalanga and in Governor Mbeki Municipality and Northwest Province Department of Health. Not a big amount, but it's really an amount that we shouldn't leave uncollected. So the next slide deal with the actual cash that was recovered as at the time of the last report. And those ones are covered in slide number 78 and number 79. The slide number 80 deals with the rent value of potential loss prevented. Now in these ones, these are where as we explained before, we would recommend to the state institutions not to make payments where we have found that the contracts are irregular, but that is made on a one condition that we institute civil proceedings. These ones on the slide number 80, we reported on them before, 80 and 81. We reported on them before, and the value of those amounts slide number 80 is 99 million, and slide number 81 is the new contract that has been set aside. Those would have been covered as well in the special tribunal report. The new contract set aside amounting to about 31 million, and those would have been set aside at the special tribunal. And as you can see, it's the Department of Health in the Eastern Cape, OR Tambo, KZN Department of Social Development. But as I said, Chair, we are seeing quite a number of cases coming through. This picture should change in the coming few weeks. Can you go to slide number 82? Rent value of contracts set aside. These are the ones that we reported on at the last hearing that we made at the SCOPA. And at that time, we were still reporting only about the Department of Health. So the new ones on slide 81 are really just the ones under the period that we are reporting on. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, those are really the outcomes that we have reached up to as at the time of the reporting on the 30th of June. There would be more in the report that we are submitting this next Friday, and that one we will present at the next FOPA appearance. But we are really pleased with the traction, with the exception that, you know, the pace at which some of these referrals are dealt with should really be improved. Honorable Chair, honorable members, now we get into some of the matters that that we finalized on slide number 83. And if you go to slide number 84, slide 84 repeats the summary that I started with. But there we are also adding on that on the finalized matters. You'll see that we do indicate that in investigations where we have not found irregularities and investigations where we have found irregularities. So you'll see the percentage there where we have found no irregularities of the contracts under investigation is about 62%. And where we have found irregularities is 38%. You'll see that the split of the values really they're comparable. No irregularities, contracts values 3.9 billion. And where we have found irregularities, which has to be addressed in terms of the outcomes we reported on, is about just over 3 billion. And the overall amount is it's 6.9 billion, and that if you compare to the above, it's matters that has really been finalized of the 14.8 billion above. Now we go now directly into in those matters that have been finalized, but the one matter that we start with is the one which doesn't fall under this period, but we have included it due to the request by SCOPA. That is the investigation on slide 85, is the National Department of Health, where we investigated the contract of the digital vibes. Honorable Chair, I've invited the heads of the investigations or the provincial heads to deal with these matters. They really, I know that time is of the essence, will not take long to ensure that we brief the committee accordingly. On this one falls under my colleague, Mr. Lekgetho, who's the Chief National Investigating Officer, but he informs me that the lead investigator will present, which is Mr. Johnny Leroux. I hope he's readily on the floor so that we don't waste time. Mr. Leroux?
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much, HOU, and a very good spring morning to the Honourable Chair of SCOPA and all the Honourable members present, as well as the HOU and all other SIU members present. So as the HOU has indicated, I'll be dealing with the National Department of Health Digital Vibes contract and the investigation relating to that. And thank you very much for the opportunity. So I'll start off with slide 86, which is a brief description of the background of the matter. It arrived as an allegation with the SIU on the 23rd of February 2021, where a whistleblower reported various allegations to the SIU relating to a 150 million rand contract allegedly irregularly awarded by the Department of National Health to a company known as Digital Vibes Pty Limited. We'll move over to slide 87. This now deals with the investigation approach, Honourable Chair. Here we review we identify irregular and or unlawful conduct on the part of the department, in this case, National Department of Health, its officials and or any third parties that have been identified. Identify and quantify losses suffered by the department and to facilitate the recovery of such losses, and then collect admissible evidence to approach the special tribunal in order to review and set aside the appointment of the Digital Vibes contract in respect of the National Department of Health Insurance, the bill, and the COVID-19 media awareness campaign. So both the National Health Insurance and the COVID-19 media campaign were both awareness contracts. Then for criminal, civil, disciplinary, and or executive proceedings against identified individuals and or entities, then identify weaknesses in the department systems and to process and provide recommendations for improvement within that department, and prepare a final report for submission to the president. We'll move over to slide 88, thank you. These are the procedures performed by the SIU. So we obtained and reviewed all the available supply chain management documentation relating to the National Health Insurance and the COVID-19 procurement process for the Department of Health. We interviewed the following individuals. Here we're not mentioning the names, but just in high category what which positions they hold. So these are the National Department of Health staff members involved in the procurement process, suppliers invited to participate in the NHI tender process, government communications and information system officials, that's the GCIS officials, witnesses relevant to possible corrupt payments and or transactions, and analyze the bank accounts of digital vibes. We served 5-2A notices to all companies that received material payments from digital vibes. We also served Section 5-2B notices on various banks to obtain records of the beneficiaries. We served 5-2B notices and C notices on several members. We performed company directed property and vehicle searches on all potential implicated entities and individuals. We briefed senior counsel for purposes of obtaining a preservation order and other potential civil litigation processes. Thank you. We'll move over to slide 89. Here we're dealing with the National Health Insurance Awareness and its SEM procedures that were performed by the department. So National Department of Health initially attempted to employ a lady by the name of Tahira Mater as a contractor for the NHI communication. So on the 12th of July 2019, National Treasury was requested to approve a deviation from a normal procurement process to appoint Digital Vibes. Again on the 26th of July 2019, National Treasury was requested to approve a deviation from normal processes to appoint Digital Vibes under a turnkey costing for 12 months with the value of 133 million rand. On the 30th of July, 2019, National Treasury declined the request, citing that the department should advertise a tender for a shortened period of 14 days. Subsequent to the above, a meeting was held between the Department of Health and National Treasury. In this meeting, it was agreed that a minimum of 10 suppliers should be invited from the CSD database. It was agreed that Digital Vibes will be part of the 10 suppliers invited to submit a bid proposal. On the 5th of September 2019, the National Department of Health submitted a letter to National Treasury with the names of the 10 potential suppliers. On the 17th of September 2019, National Treasury responded to the Department of Health, saying that they are not sure whether the 10 suppliers that were identified by the department were the only service providers able to do the required communication work. On the 25th of September 2019, a tender proposal was emailed to the 10 suppliers with a closing date of 14 October 2019. On the 14th of October 2019, only two companies submitted bid proposals. That was Digital Vibes and one other bidder. On the 24th of October 2019, which we go to slide 90, please, sir, the Department of Health submitted a second RFP and informed all the 10 suppliers that the functionality evaluation criteria was not included in the first request for proposal. The companies were required to collect their bid documents and to resubmit on or before the 30th of October. The second RFP did not provide for the 14-day mandatory submission period. One of the bidders informed the SAU that they were concerned that their first bid proposal was opened when they collected it from the Department of Health. So on the 30th of October 2019, again only two bidders submitted a bid proposal. Subsequent to the above, a meeting was held between the Department of Health and Treasury, National Treasury. It was agreed that a minimum of 10 suppliers should be invited from the data bus. It was agreed that Digital Vibes will be part of the 10 suppliers invited to submit the proposals. The bid evaluation committee scoring is something that the SIU had to focus on, and we have discovered that Digital Vibes was awarded a full 100% by all BEC members for each evaluation criteria, despite the fact that they only had 1 year experience, which related to another contract at COPTA. They therefore should have been awarded a score of 3 out of 5. This process was irregular. On the other hand, the second bidder had more than 5 years experience, but only received a score of 3 out of 5 for experience, with the exception of one BEC member awarding them a score of 4 out of 5 instead of receiving a 5 out of 5. The NHI, next slide please, Mr. Lagheta. The SIU determined from the table in the TEC report containing the combined scores of all the BEC members that one BEC member's score was altered from of the second bidder from a 3 to a 2, in other words, downscoring the person, which resulted in an overall score of the second bidder being 59.2%. If the score was not changed, the second bidder would have qualified for functionality. The end result was that the second bidder failed to meet the required 60% for functionality, thus disqualifying them from advancing through to the next stage of the tender process. Digital Vibes quoted 141 million and the second bidder quoted 69 million. It should be noted that Digital Vibes was 172 million, in brackets 104% more expensive than the second bidder, who was disqualified irregularly according to the SIU. Can we move over to page 92, please? So here we talk about the COVID-19 SEM process, which is a second SEM process involving the Digital Vibes company. So on the 2nd of March 2020, COVID-19 goods and services were requested by the acting DG via his private Yahoo email account to Ms. Mater, who was only a consultant for the company Digital Vibes. On the 6th of March 2020, the quotation from Digital Vibes for 135 million rand was approved by the DG, the acting DG, via his private Yahoo email address without following any SEM process. Items in the quotation differed from the items requested by the acting DG. On the 12th of March 2020, the quotations requested from other suppliers for similar services. Individual service providers were appointed by the Department of Health to perform similar services than what Digital Vibe was contracted for at a cost of approximately 5 million. So what we are saying here, apart from the 35 million quotation that was approved by the acting DG, they again went and asked 4 other companies to give them the similar service at a cost of 5 million. The national state of disaster was only declared on the 15th of March 2020. Therefore, the quotation requested prior to a disaster being declared by government. There was no agreement between the Department of Health and Digital Vibes for the COVID-19 communication services, and there was no SEM process followed for the above. Can we move over to 93, please? The budget for Digital Vibes for 132 million rand approved by the former Minister of Health. So the former Minister of Health approved 2 budget applications for Digital Vibes for the NHI communication. The first one was on the 20th of January 2020 to the value of 46.9 million rand. This was approved 52 days after Digital Vibes service level agreement was signed, i.e. on the 29th of November 2019. The second budget approval was on the 16th of June 2020. To the value of 85.5 million. This was for the NHI communication work from 6 March 2020. Digital Vibes only delivered on the COVID-19 communication services. What we are saying is at the time that they submitted their quotation on the 6th of March for COVID-19, they stopped functioning on the NHI contract. And this approval was 199 days after Digital Vibes service level agreement was signed on the 29th of November 2019. Slide number 94. I need to just highlight this slide. This is Digital Life's potential irregular payments. So here you will have a diagram of where all the money from Digital Vibes flows into company accounts and individuals' accounts associated to them to some extent. And some are legitimate payments, some are, we are believing, are irregular payments. Can we move to slide 95, please? So here, Honorable Chair, we are discussing the civil litigation, specifically the preservation order. The SIU has identified 22 million contained in several bank accounts resulting from cash flows from the Digital Vibes net bank account. A preservation order was granted to the SIU by the Special Tribunal on the 17th of June 2021 based on the SIU's findings. The SIU submitted and filed its review application to set aside the contract on 29 July 2021 and to also recover the full value paid out on the contract. If we could move over to slide 96, thank you. Here we are just discussing the number of referrals for disciplinary action against officials and at the National Department of Health. We have submitted 7 referrals. This happened on the 7th of July, 2021. The level of officials were all between senior management, middle management, and one junior official. The charges range from non-compliance with respect to the SCM processes and contravention of Section 38 of the PFMA. My apologies that it says 34, but it's in fact 38. And then the progress to date is that the department is currently considering the recommendations made by the SIU. They are in the process of appointing counsel to draft charges. Moving over to page 97, thank you. Number of referrals to the relevant prosecuting authority, i.e. the NPA. Here we have referred 19 matters to the NPA on the 8th of July, 2021. And this again involves senior management, middle management, junior officials, and private individuals. The charges range from fraud, corruption, and money laundering. And the progress to date is that the referral was submitted to the MPA / the Hawks. The case has been registered under Pretoria CAS 630 of June 06, 2021. And I just need to indicate that we are constantly meeting with the Hawks on these matters. The next slide, 98, please, is the number of referrals made for executive authority, and I think the HOU have touched on this matter already. This relates to the conduct of the former minister, and I'm going to go over to the next slide because this matter has now been dealt with, and the minister has since resigned, as indicated by the head of the unit. The last slide, number 99, is the number of referrals made for administrative action, which includes the blacklisting. And there's one referral made on the 8th of July, 2021. This would be in relation to non-performance, fraud, corruption, and money laundering. And the progress to date is that the department is currently considering the referrals made by the SIG. The last slide, which I'm going to deal with, is slide number 100. And this is the rand value of actual cash or assets recovered on specifically this matter. And the SIG have received 11.5 million rand paid into its bank account on the 26th of August 2021 by one of the companies for not performing, but have received this money into his account. And
can
he has
you ask me slide 100, please?
Yeah, sorry. Can we go to slide 100? Sorry, Chair. So, Chair, I just want to repeat. On the 26th of August 2021, that was last week, one of the service providers who received money from Digital Vibes repaid this money to the SIU to the value of 11.5 million, and that money is currently in the SIU's account. I would like to thank you for the opportunity to present the Digital Vibes matter to the Honorable Committee, and I will then take my leave. Thank you very much, Chair, and the Head of the Union.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Leroux. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we provided this update in a fair detail to the Honorable Committee on this matter, specifically because we really needed to appraise the committee in full of how this matter unfolded and how it was investigated and the outcomes. At the present, we have now filed papers at the Special Tribunal, and the papers at the Special Tribunal, of course, once filed,
they are public. So this information would be contained in the case that we are making at the special tribunal. We will be able to interact with the Honorable Committee and take questions that the committee may raise. However, just bear in mind that in some instances, we may probably not be able to go into finer detail because those would be ventilated in the special tribunal. But we have sought to give the essence in a fair detail to the Honorable Committee. This money that my colleague says last week it was paid is, of course, after we have traced where the monies have gone to and we identify who received which amount, the diagram, and we apologize that it wasn't as visible. We really tried with the presentation, but we couldn't. But it's really just to show the method that we follow in tracing the money. This money is part of those that we traced back to a certain individual who was paid without having performed. And they acknowledged, and they immediately offered to pay back. So that money is sitting in the trust account. Once the legal process is concluded, that money will be paid back to the National Department of Health, where it belongs to serve the purposes that it was meant for. So Chair, I really just wanted to give that round off. The matter, there's no date yet for the special tribunal to hear the matter, but the papers have been issued and the papers have been served on all the parties. Honorable Chair, I'm mindful of the time. We are left with about 15 slides and we will go quite quickly on those ones. These are the matters really that has been finalized in various provinces. And I'm going to ask my colleague, Mr. Segran Chetty. He's the first one to go through. Mr. Segran Chetty, take the committee through the Gauteng matters. And then you'll conclude, and then the National Department will come in.
Thank you, Advocate Mutibi. Good morning to Chairperson and honourable members. As Advocate Mutibi has indicated, I'll be sharing two slides with you regarding the Gauteng province. In just a little bit of a background, you'll notice that the TPE investigation initially started with the Gauteng Department of Health, and subsequent to that, the proclamation was issued for a national investigation. So these matters in some of the cases that the allegations that we received and we finalized, and some of the actions that were taken. So slide 102, you will notice there, the allegation that we received was the first point is 500,000 cloth masks to a value of 10 million. There we found there was no irregularities. Then there were cloth masks to the value of 2 million, just over 2 million, there was no irregularities. And another allegation was the cloth masks, again for 2 million, there was no irregularities identified. Boot covers for 195,000, there was no irregularities. Printing paper for 60,000, no irregularities there. The catering services, 109 million, and there was two contracts, there was no irregularities. Surface sanitizers, 1.25 million, there was no irregularities. Catering services, 50,000. We found that there was no competitive bidding or any other SCM processes. However, the services were rendered and there was value for money. The next item, the last bullet there is 500,000 cloth masks, the value of 12 million. There we found there was no irregularities in SCM processes, but the matter was referred to the Competition Commission for excessive pricing. Can you please move over to the next slide? Thank you. In this slide here, there was 2.5 million face masks, the value of 6.125 million. There we found there was no irregularities in the SCM, but the matter was referred to the Competition Commission for excessive pricing. The next item you see is 10,000 thermometers for the value of just over 14 million. There we found there was no irregularities in the SCM process, but the matter was referred to SAPRA. because the service providers were not registered to supply these medical devices. The next bullet was 5,000 patient identity cards to the value of 87 million. There was no irregularities identified in the ACM processes. However, the cards were never delivered and no payment was made. So the recommendation was made to cancel to the department to cancel all these purchase orders. And the last item is 24,400 FFP2 masks to the value of 1.9 million. There was no SCM processes were followed and the award of the contract was irregular. I must stress that there were also several other allegations that we investigated and we continue to investigate and the matters are with the Federal Tribunal. So that ends my two slides. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reddy. Can we hand over to Mr. Lekgetho, please, the National Department.
Thank you, Advocate. Morning, Honourable Chair, and morning, Honourable Members and colleagues. The update with regard to finalised matter on National Department, we've dealt with South African National Defence Force, and we also dealt with National Department of Employment and Labour, and also National Department of Correctional Services. With regard to South African National Defence Force, the SIU received an allegation relating to irregular SCM processes and possible collusion, where five service providers were awarded contracts to the value of 275 million. The SIU investigation found that the relevant SCM policies and National Treasury prescripts were not followed, which rendered the SCM process irregular. There was also excessive pricing in respect of the mask and gloves that were procured. And out of this investigation, Chair, we have referred five contracts to civil litigation so that those contracts should be cancelled. And as a result also, we have referred two referrals to Competition Commission so that they can able to look at the excessive pricing. And we have also made two NPA referrals for the officials and the companies that are involved. And currently we are reviewing 11 DC for the officials that were responsible for these irregularities. With regard to National Department of Employment and Labor, the SIU received the allegation which was based on the AGSA report, which included irregularities in respect of COVID-19 relief fund. Five contracts were awarded to the value of 6.1 million, and the SIU investigation found that no SCM process were followed. And with regard to this one, we have referred eight disciplinary referrals to National Department of Employment and Labor, and the DC has progressed, and some of the members has been disciplined already. And the last one relates to National Department of Correctional Service. Here, the SIU received an allegation that an official had awarded PPE contracts to friends and family. The total value of the alleged contracts awarded to 25 companies was 53.2 million. The investigation into the 15 of the companies have been finalized. The SIU investigation found that the SCM process was irregular and there was possible collusion between the official and some of the service providers. Here we have also referred four disciplinary referrals and four companies, we have taken them to special tribunals so that we can able to cancel the contract. And we have also referred three letters to the Competition Commission so that they can able to deal with the excessive pricing. That's all from national investigation. Thanks, Advocate.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lekgetho. Honorable Chair, we move over to the Eastern Cape and the provincial head of the Eastern Cape, Ms. Tsibe, is ready for the Honorable Committee.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Head of the Unit and colleagues, good morning. The summary that is provided is with regards to three departments, the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, the Department of Health, as well as Department of Education in the Eastern Cape. The SIU received an allegation in respect of a tender for the supply, delivery, and installation of temporary structures at the Mount Elif and Taylor Bequest Hospital. We investigated the matter and the SIU found no irregularities with the SEM processes. And then in addition to this, we also received allegation in respect of a tender for repairs and renovations of the Jobert Tina Hospital. We also investigated the matter and our findings were that there were no irregularities with the SEM processes by the department. We also received another allegation in respect of four contracts to the value of 409,000 rand that were awarded for the decontamination services. The SIU investigation found no irregularities with the SMM processes that led to the appointment of these contracts, that is Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. Then with regards to the Department of Health, we received allegations that the department had awarded tenders without following the correct SEM processes. There are a number of companies, however, our reports will then deal with the 12 service providers that we investigated during the period. There were also allegations that some of the tenders were awarded to family members of the officials of the department. And in 12 of these contracts, we investigated, we found no evidence to support the allegations that were made. Let's move to the next slide, which is the Department of Education. With regards to the Department of Education, Chair, the SIU received allegation that iService provider was employed by the department and did not declare his interest in the company. Our investigation revealed that the service provider has declared his interest in the business and all tender documents that were submitted, which is then the declarations were made. In another instance, Chairperson, we received allegations that two service providers did not supply all the PPE material to the schools as per the delivery notes and the invoices that were submitted to the department. Payments to the value of 4.1 million rands were made to both service providers. The SIU investigation found that the service providers had not delivered all the items as shown in the invoices and the delivery notes. One service provider did agree to sign an AOD of the overpaid amount, which amounted to 98,000 rand. And then the other service provider refused to make a commitment and to pay. So in respect of that one, we are proceeding with our civil proceedings to recover the overpayment of 105,000 rand. That's our report in the Eastern Cape, Chair. Thank you so much. Thanks, actually.
The first stage is presented by the provincial head, Ms. Chabalala.
Thank you, HOU. Good morning, Chair, honourable members and colleagues. In Free State, we received an allegation from the Chabeng local municipality. It was alleged that contractors were actually appointed to perform work at the pump station, and that processes were bypassed as a result of COVID-19. The contract value is for 9.7 million. The matter, it was closed since the allegation fell out of the R23 of 2020 proclamation. Thank you, HOU.
Just to stay there, once we find that it doesn't fall within the ambit, of course we do advise the state institution on the processes that they should follow, or we then motivate for a different new proclamation. In this matter, the matter would have been closed on our side, but we would like the provincial head to just really provide before we close on how this matter was processed.
Okay.
Are you able to do it now, or we can proceed? Okay.
Yes, we can. It has been approved for motivation HOU. Internally, a motivation, it's actually been drafted, and it will be sent off to you for your signature and to the DOJ for proclamation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Chair, just was really just to conclude on that slide, because it's sort of hanging if we just say the matter has been closed. So we are moving for a new proclamation there. KwaZulu-Natal is presented by the provincial head, Mr. Gosai.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, Head of the Unit and colleagues. This slide needs to be placed in context. And I think the KwaZulu-Natal provincial investigations, when we look at it, our investigation basket has 16 state institutions, 283 service providers with 532 contracts. For the period under review, we concentrated on the Itikwini municipality, which on its own comprised of 124 service providers and 288 contracts. We have finalized 153 of the contracts within this period to the value of 60.6 million. A number of findings have been made, and we found prices charged were in excess of National Treasury guidelines. Key deliverables in terms of the awards were not met. And our investigations focused on processes governing the awards together with a value for money proposition. But as the HOU has pointed out in the presentation, significant progress has been made with substantive outcomes being recorded. Thank you very much. That's the KZN presentation.
This part, by the way, just deals with the matters that were finalized in this period. But of course, as Mr. Gosai indicates, there's a context of a myriad of other investigations that were conducted in various provinces. We move over now to Limpopo. Mr. Msimanga, I hope you're ready, sir, without the waste of time.
Yes, I'm ready, I show you. Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good morning to you and to the Honorable Members and colleagues. Thank you, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity. And in Limpopo, the SIU was requested by the Premier. The slide says former Premier, my apologies for that. It's actually the current Premier, to investigate contracts awarded to service providers in various departments. Within the period under review, Honorable Chair, the following matters were concluded or finalized. And the first matter was where a service provider was awarded a contract to supply and deliver 150,000 plows to the value of 1 million rand.
Everybody is free in Uganda. And yes, you, as Internal Affairs Minister, in March, presented a list to Parliament of 177 people who are...
Thank you. I will go, I'll start over with the first bullet. The first matter was where a service provider was awarded a contract to supply and deliver 150,000 plows to the value of 1 million rand. The SIU investigation found that the award was invalid because the service provider was not tax compliant. However, the plows were never delivered to the department and there was no payment that was made to the service provider. This matter was therefore closed, but it was closed after several disciplinary referrals were made and an NPA referral was made against the accounting officer. On the second matter, the service provider was awarded a contract to supply and deliver 10,000 plows and was paid an amount of 269,997 rand. The SIU found that the award was unlawful in that an incorrect service provider was appointed. We found that the incorrect service provider was appointed, and then there were relevant NPAs and disciplinary referrals that were made, and then this matter was closed as well. The third matter here is the service provider. Is the SIU, my apologies. The SIU received an allegation that a service provider was awarded a contract to supply and deliver surgical gloves to the value of over 993,000 rand. The SIU investigation found that the gloves were delivered to the department and no payment was made to the service provider. The matter was closed. And thank you, Honorable Chair. That is all from Limpopo.
Honorable Chair, without further ado, Mr. Khasakho from Mpumalanga. It doesn't look like Mr. Khasakho is disconnected. Honorable Chair, in that case, I will deal with this matter. In the Mpumalanga province, slide number 110, the Department of Agriculture, Rural and Land Environment, we received allegations relating to the provision and delivery of food supplies for a period of 5 years. The value of two contracts awarded was about 32 million. The SIU investigation found that there were no competitive bidding, which means that there were irregularities found, and some of the outcomes presented above would have included this matter. Department of Culture, Sports and Recreation, we received allegations that the department had procured hand sanitizer at inflated price. Two contracts were awarded to the value of 763,000. The SIU investigation found that the SCM process was irregular and that additional quotations that had been submitted appeared to have been falsified for the purposes of cover quoting. These are some of the instances, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, where we are finding criminality. And some of the outcomes above, referral to NPA and referral for disciplinary action, would have included these matters. The Department of Social Development, we received an allegation that the department had procured PPE at inflated prices and that there was no procurement process followed. The service provider was awarded the contract to the value of 169,000 and that the SIU found that no irregularities in respect of SCM, which means that the allegations could not be substantiated in this regard. 111 slide, please. In the Department of Social Development, we received an allegation that the department had awarded a contract for the supply of catering services at inflated prices and that there was no SCM process followed. The service provider was awarded a contract to the value of 6.6 million, we found that there was fruitless and wasteful expenditure to the value of 1.3 million. And the outcomes and the consequence management would have been included in the above slides dealing with the outcomes. We further received allegation that the department had awarded a contract to the supply of catering and laundry services at inflated prices and that there were no procurement processes followed. The service provider was awarded a contract to the value of 194,000. The SIU investigation found that there was fruitless and wasteful expenditure to the value of about 194,000. The SIU further received allegations that the department had procured PPE at inflated prices and that there was no procurement processes followed. Two service providers were awarded contracts to the value of 1.3 million. And the SIU investigation found that the service providers had indeed overcharged the department for the PPEs. One service provider signed an AOD when acknowledgement of debt when he was confronted to the value of about 59,000, which was the amount that was overpaid by the department. Civil proceedings are currently being considered against the other service provider to recover overpayment. Next slide. In Mpumalanga, the Department of Health, we conducted a desktop analysis to identify the discrepancies relating to the expenditure of PPE-related goods and services. The Mpumalanga Provincial Treasury, the COVID-19 procurement disclosure report was also used as a source document. A contract was awarded to the value of 14.3 million. The SIU investigation found that the procurement was irregular, and only one quotation was obtained in this regard. The goods were delivered before the purchase order was issued, and documents had to be backdated, which is really problematic. The SCM process was not competitive and in line with national treasury guidelines. The contract was awarded to the value of about 140 million. The SIU investigation found that the procurement process was irregular because one quotation was obtained. The SCM process was not competitive and in line with treasury regulations. Next slide. Oh, that deals with the Mpumalanga province. I hope my colleague in the Western Cape, Mr. Niza, the provincial head there, is there. This is the last of the provinces, Honorable Chair. Mr. Niza, if you are available, you can take the Honorable Committee through. Honourable Chair, I would not want to waste the Honourable Committee's time. We will check with our colleagues. It looks like they've got connectivity issues in Mpumalanga and Western Cape. But if I were to take over in the Western Cape, in the Cedarburg local municipality, we received an allegation that there were irregularities with the procurement of sanitizers, dispensers and liquid soap. Two contracts were awarded to the value of 21,000. It was further alleged that the service providers was a former employee and the spouse of a senior manager at the municipality. The SIU found that the procurement process was irregular and unlawful in terms of Section 217 of the Constitution, that there was a potential conflict of interest and the referrals would have been made in line with the outcomes above. We also received an allegation that there were irregularities with the procurement of loud hailing services and COVID-19 awareness campaign. The value of the contract was 28,000. The SIU investigation found the procurement process was irregular and unlawful because there was potential bid manipulation between the municipal official and the service provider. Next slide. Still in the Western Cape, in the Cedarburg local municipality, the SIU received an allegation that there were irregularities with procurement of PPE to the value of 145,000. The investigation found that the procurement process was irregular and unlawful. We also received an allegation that there were irregularities with procurement of PPE to the value of 334,000. We found that the service provider attempted to bribe a municipal official and the hand sanitizer was procured also did not contain 70% alcohol. So again, in this regard, we would have made the referrals as included in the outcomes above. In the Matikama municipal local municipality, we received allegations relating to the procurement of PPE to the value of 400,000. The SIU investigation found that the procurement process was irregular and unlawful because the service provider did not disclose his friendship with the municipal official, and we would have referred the allegations or the referrals accordingly. Next slide, please. Still in the Western Cape, in the Matikama, in this case, because of the reports we received that there was a plan to dissipate evidence, we then motivated and applied for a search and seizure through the courts, which was granted. We conducted a search and seizure there, and the document shows that the service provider was appointed without following a competitive process. The contract was to provide humanitarian relief to the poor and vulnerable in the value of 650,000. The SIU investigation found that the procurement process was irregular and unlawful because the service provider did not disclose his friendship with the municipal official. The motion proceedings in this case will be heard when the opposing affidavit has been obtained in the first or from the first respondent. So these would have been some of the matters that Dr. Wells reported on. We also received an allegation that there were irregularities with the procurement of loud hailing and the awareness campaign. The value of the contract was 68,000. We found that the procurement process was irregular and unlawful
because the service provider did not submit the required municipal bidding documents or any other documents. Next slide. Those are then Honorable Chair, and we really are indebted to the Honorable Committee for allowing us to go into this detail, because we wanted the committee to be aware of what we investigated as at the fifth progress report. All the colleagues that presented, really, they lead various investigations in various provinces, and we would be here, Honorable Chair, to answer all the questions. The estimated cost, Chair, really remains almost flat, but some increase really is shown as related to the previous report, as you can see in the second bullet point. In the previous briefing, the total estimate was 341. This has now increased to 351 million. This is still slightly down from the previous estimate of 386. An updated costing will be provided as and when the information becomes available. The main reason for this reduction of 35 million from the initial latest cost estimate is a reduced projected cost of internal and contracted investigative resources based on actual and projected costs relating to the time spent on this PPE investigations. The last part, Chair, we thought we would update the committee in terms of the final report. Most of the investigations in respect of this investigation, as we initially reported, will be finalized by the 31 August. And then the report will cover the following. The background, of course, the approach that we took, the allegations, investigations that have been finalized, and the investigations that will be ongoing after the 31st. These would be those ones that we will clearly indicate as we were finalizing the investigation, the new ones that kept coming in. Chair, we have stated before that we cannot close out the new allegations as they come in. And this just goes to indicate the extent of the irregularities and possible corruption that was committed during this PPE procurement process. The allegations really continue to come in. And we will also, in the last report, indicate the steps that have been taken. These are really just the outcomes. Now, the final report, because we are going to really start preparing it and finalize of this finalized investigation, will be submitted by the 30th of November. And we would then have really closed the bulk of these investigations. Some of those that we continue to receive will probably just be, you know, in the various investigations of the provinces. But from a focused approach to ensure that we deal effectively with the PPE irregularities procurement, the bulk of what we had, and we will segment the percentages when we do the last report to show which ones are still ongoing, because we would have received them as new allegations. Honorable Chair, once more, we are thankful for the time to present as comprehensive as we did. We are available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, HOU. I'm sure the presentation can be taken down. HOU, thank you very much to you and your team for the presentation, as comprehensive as it has been. And thank you very much for taking us through all those issues. As I'm seated here, I can only just, the fact that we have to pay 351 odd million rands to investigate corruption, the question becomes that money could have been so well used and better used if people had actually done the right thing and the correct things. There's an absence of patriotism and there's an absence of conscience. and an absence of duty which characterizes the public service. If you look at the extent of the allegations and the corruption which has been unearthed, and thirdly, of course, by people who have been entrusted with the responsibility of improving the lives of others. And that is why I continue to characterize this PPE corruption as a crime against humanity. People seeing an opportunity to loot in the midst of the worst global health pandemic of our lifetime. And there are a series of shortcomings which emerge, colleagues, which I'm sure you agree with as we have observed over time. I think we will have to have a particular focus at some point in the near future on the protection of whistleblowers and discuss that further with the law enforcement agencies in their entirety, because it's one of the key aspects and areas really where we run the risk of people not volunteering information and or whistleblowing if their safety is not guaranteed. And I think what we have seen over the past a few days is the clearest indication of the extent of how daring criminal elements are to protect their turf of looting and thieving the state resources. And so it needs to go beyond the point of lamentation, and there has to be a concretization of protection measures put in place to ensure that the whistleblowers are actually protected. So colleagues, let me then go to questions and comments that colleagues may have. Right, I see Honorable Hadebe, let me take you off the virtual platform and then I'll go to the WhatsApp group. Right, Honorable Hadebe with an H, let us hand over to you.
No, thanks, Chair, and my apology for the noise in the background. I'm in a shuttle on my way to Parliament, so if you hear noise on the background, please bear with me. My first question is in relation to junior officials, vis-a-vis and senior management. Advocate Mutibi has stated more than once the need to conclude the cases of senior management expeditiously in order to send a clear and unequivocal message of zero tolerance to corruption. From his observation, does he find it difficult to conclude cases of senior managers expeditiously as compared to those of junior officials? If you can just give us a sense. The second question also, Chair, in relation to the new cases that are continuing to be received, are these cases new contracts or old contracts? By old contracts, I mean from the time they started with their first investigation, where these tenders already been awarded, or are these new cases that they continuously receive cases of tenders that has been recently awarded? If I can just get an understanding on that. The next question, Chair, which is a concern from my side, cases where no irregularities have been identified. It's 62% of cases. I'm raising this, Chair, on the backdrop of having spent plus minus 300 million investigating these cases. Is the advocate in a position to indicate whether or not, where there were no irregularities found, were there justifiable cause for concern to report these cases, or was it just propaganda? Because we can't spend so much money, and at the end of the day, only 38% of the cases where irregularities have been found. So if he's in a position to indicate to us whether or not indeed there were justifiable cause for concern in terms of these cases. Chair, the last question from my side, it's in relation to the referral made for administrative actions. The understanding is that these cases are cases that have already been concluded. But when you look at the date in which these cases were reported, some were reported in March, April, and May. 5 months down the line, those cases have not been concluded. So one would like to get a sense of understanding what extra processes are being undertaken by these entities that are meant to blacklist these companies if the cases were referred to them 5 months back, and at this stage you are sitting with cases and companies that have not yet been blacklisted. Does these entities also embark on their own investigation, or once you have concluded your investigation and recommend for blacklisting, the matter ought to be concluded expeditiously? Can I get an understanding? Okay, the other question I've already been covered. The doctor has already responded to case management. Thank you, Chair. Those are my a few questions, and apologies for the noise on the background. Thank you.
All right, that's fine. Let's take another set of questions, colleagues, as we try and manage time. If the any other colleague with a question? Right. Advocate Mtibi, you can respond to that first set.
No, thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Hadebe. We appreciate the questions. With regard to consequence management, indeed, we do call on the actions to proceed with the disciplinary action against all levels, including senior management, speedily. Now, on the investigation side, there is no indication, really, that we are finding it difficult to investigate against senior management as against lower management. We have not made that observation. So in this regard, the investigation against anyone involved is really going according to how we envisage it. If there were any obstacles that we have observed, we would probably have recorded them as new observations and how we are dealing with them. The new allegations, whether they are new contracts or not, in some instances, you'll find that the allegations that is received, for example, in June of 2021, it may refer to a contract that was ended, well, that was concluded or entered into in January of 2021 or in November of 2021. So we in this case, it's really the whistleblowers and those reports that we receive. We call them new because they would have been reported to us at a certain point during the overall investigation, but those allegations may refer to a contract that was concluded few months back, in which case the investigators would then have to go back and get the evidence related to that specific contract. So it doesn't really follow that if it's a new allegation, it refers to a new contract. It may be a new contract, it may refer to an old contract. Now with regard to the outcomes, the findings, whether we have found irregularities or no irregularities. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Hadebe, thank you for this question. In all instances, when we receive the allegations, we are expected to assess and make sure that those allegations fall within our mandate and they are due to be investigated. And we do that with every allegation without variation, without any exception. So where we find that, you know, there's documentation that has been provided, there's substantive information that has been provided to kick off the investigation, we are expected to expend efforts to investigate,
And that effort is done at various levels of the investigations. We put various investigators, and that is the effort that from our side we charge. We charge for that effort to investigate. So that effort, in many instances, it does lead to findings of irregularity where we have to now follow the steps of outcomes. But yes, in other instances, like we depict there, that in about 62% of the allegations, we have found no irregularities. And these investigations, as I indicated, are really based on the allegations we received. So that would mean where we say we did not find irregularities, it eventually means that the allegations could not be substantiated. Sometimes it's the language that is used to say it could not be substantiated and therefore no irregularities, and that in many instances the allegations would say, you know, there are irregularities relating to the procurement process, and they would then indicate to us what the allegations are based on. Then we have to go through the procurement process, test it against the regulations and the legislation. And when we make a finding that the allegations is unsubstantiated, there are no irregularities, we mean that, for example, if it's procurement based, we would define that it complies with the PFMA, where it makes regulations for procurement, and ultimately compliance with Section 217 of the Constitution. So from where we sit, we are expected to do an effective investigation and question the witnesses such that we reach a credible outcome based on credible evidence. And this evidence has to ultimately withstand the scrutiny of the courts, including the special tribunal. So where we find that there is no evidence to support the allegation, we make that finding. Where we have found irregularities is the converse. The converse of where we don't find irregularity. The converse would be that we would have investigated the allegation and found that, you know, it did not, for example, comply with the procurement process. In many instances, as we have reported in various reports here, you know, there would be, you know, conflicts of interest where families would be involved, they would be favored, there would be criminal actions of bribery, there would be management disregard of the processes. So there's various issues that we look at in order to pronounce ourselves whether there's irregularities or no irregularities, given the legal framework that is applicable to each and every investigation. Now, in terms of the amount spent to investigate, which is about just over 300 million, again, as I say, we base the assessment of the cost based on the efforts and the resources that we put in terms of investigating. But Honorable Chair, if you look at the matters that are at the Special Tribunal, as at the date of this report, is about 1.3 billion, I think we said. So if we ensure that we follow up on those processes and make sure that we recover through the Special Tribunal, and we will be able, at least on the civil litigation side, show that that 300 million compared to what has been recovered, really our view is that it would compare well. And by the way, the other outcomes, although they don't refer to recoveries, but these are the outcomes that we require. That 300 million, amongst others, has produced those more than 100 findings of the officials that need to be disciplined, when the disciplinary process takes place and takes place effectively, and the sanctions are imposed, in many instances dismissals, we are contributing effectively in the cleaning of the system and making sure that those sanctions are deterrent. We deter those would-be people or officials who would like to be part of the irregularities. The other part, of course, is now the prosecution side. So this, the overall view of these investigations and the outcomes compared to the amount that has been spent to conduct this investigation, in my view and in our view, is that it is really comparable. With regard to the blacklisting, the blacklisting, Honorable Chair, Honorable Hadebe, and Honorable Members, what we do is that we do identify the entities that have committed irregularities themselves, they were part of these irregularities, and because it has to follow an administrative process, an administrative justice process, it is the responsibility of the accounting authority at the entity where we have referred this company. So they have to embark on a process. More often they are advised by the National Treasury, but we also come in to provide the evidence. So there is a subsequent process that gets followed to blacklist a company. You give them the opportunity and the administrative procedures that are prescribed. So just like we follow up with all others, we will continue to follow up with the view that ultimately we would like to see this companies blacklisted and that they shouldn't do business with the state because of the findings that we have returned against them. Thank you.
All right, Honorable Hateb, I'm seeing your hand for a follow-up.
Yes, Chair. So in advocate's point of view, the 62% that we see of no irregularities having been found, we shouldn't be alarmed as a committee in terms of the number of cases where irregularities have been found, the 38%. The plus or minus 300 million spent is worth it in terms of making sure that we deal with corruption and issues of maladministration decisively. So we shouldn't be alarmed, because I was concerned, Chair, to be quite honest, when I saw the figures, but more than 60% of cases that get referred to the SIU, there are cases that are clean and no issues of irregularities. But when the advocate is reassuring us that money spent, it's worth it, and it dealt decisively with corruption, I'm comfortable with you. But I still don't get the sense of how long should the process of blacklisting takes. Is it a reasonable time that 5 months down the line we are still waiting for some of these cases to be concluded? Is that a reasonable time in terms of his understanding of the process? I'm sure he has dealt with similar cases before. He could give us a sense of how long does it take to conclude this necessary administrative process. We're not saying it's not necessary, but we are worried about the time it takes. Thank you, Chair. Honorable Chair, I am done.
You may have taken a short break.
With the permission of the Honorable Committee, can I come in, or should we wait for the Chair?
I don't think it does any harm to proceed, Advocate.
Okay.
Please proceed, Advocate. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Honorable Hadebe. Honorable Members, Honorable Hadebe,
I really share your concern around this huge percentage of matters where there are no irregularities. As I say, we would have concluded the evidence and found that they are not substantiated. The concern is on the side where you mentioned before, that would it be a propaganda or, you know, of course, we are not in a position to say whether it was a propaganda or not. But more often, it's some of these whistleblowers that really come up. Initially, they would come with, you know, allegations that are supported. But when you go and test these allegations, you really find that they are not substantiated. And as the figures show there, that it's quite a high number of unsubstantiated irregularities, and it could really just cause us to really go back and do almost a post-mortem so that we can respond informally to your question. What is at the root of this? You know, is this just, you know, sort of, I don't know what the term to use, but I mean, flimsy is not the term, but I think sufficient to say we assure the committee that we have looked into these allegations effectively in all the provinces, and in those where we did not find irregularities, that the investigating teams have pronounced effectively, and we have been reviewing at the center nationally. We have a collective review of investigations, and we go into details in the provinces. The provincial heads are conducting the reviews of these investigations, and they question the investigators with regard to each and every investigation. So I've got no doubt that we would have really gone into detail. But I think, as I said, it might really warrant, you know, call it a post-investigation review of this kind of findings with no irregularity. And we could really report back to the committee in terms of what have we found as really contributing to this high percentage of matters where there are no irregularities. In terms of the blacklisting process, because it's an administrative process, we have seen various instances, and in some instances, I mean, they've really not been more than a month, where the accounting authority would receive our referral, and they would immediately kick off the process of giving the parties concerned the opportunity to comment. And once they've commented, a decision has to be taken. So that matter should not take long, really. So we need to go back and find out the real reasons. Why are these matters delayed? Thank you.
Sorry, Chair.
Okay, you may proceed.
Well, in light of what the advocate is saying, which I really support without any doubt as well, my question would be, do you have within the establishment some platform for quality assessment? I'm asking that with my experience with the Auditor General. When some audits have been conducted, they would subject those audits in a process which is a litmus paper test for quality aspects of such results, more especially on those areas which are giving rise to some form of investigation results which are not necessarily finding anything in as far as such investigations are concerned. The second area, Chair, would be the area that reflects probably to us what at best can we do to ensure that these areas which have been identified by the team as lacking in terms of speed to resolve matters of discipline. What is that can we do? Probably to approach those authorities which have that right of the disciplinary processes to fulfill the actual results of a full cycle of these investigative outcomes. Thank you, Chair.
All right, Ma'am Dolashe.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me appreciate this report. As usual, Chair, it's a very informative report that really tells the story of the kind of work that is being done in the SIU and other components. I really quite appreciate it. Chair, the report is straightforward, very clear. The other questions have been asked already. Mine will be to say, Chair, whether we can assist as the committee in the areas where we think, as Advocate Mutibi and the team is reporting, that there's sometimes a slow response from the responsible offices insofar as referrals are concerned. Because we know for a fact that the PFMA and MFMA does instruct the people who are occupying strategic position to act on areas where there are allegations of corruption. And I hear from the report that even after the SIU has come in and investigate and find some of these illegal things, it's not everybody who's looking forward and agile to make sure that they implement. Now, I really would want us to check what else can we do in assisting in this regard. Chair, can't we, as the SIU, come and present, bring the responsible people to take us through on why are they not acting and why they should not be taken through themselves and been put a question on why there shouldn't be any action against them when a lot of money, as it has been articulated, has been spent, find out things that they should have find out themselves. But the SIU had to come in and did this stealing job. But they still have that of not acting. I am very worried about that. I really would want us to find a way to assist in this regard. And lastly, Chair, as the committee, I guess, alone, we must find a way to deal with this voluminous report that really talks volumes on the work done by the SIU. Really, there should be a way to deal with this, Chairperson, as we usually do with the report from ESCOM and other huge institutions. Otherwise, thank you very much, Chairperson, for this report. Thank you.
Thank you, Ma'am Tolashe. Honorable Hadebe, you'll be the last one on this one. I see your hand.
Yeah. No, thanks, Chair. I forgot to ask, in relation to the digital vibes, has the matter been concluded and whether or not the resignation of the minister will not in any way hamper the case if it has not been concluded? You'll excuse me, Chair, I was in the shuttle. I could not hear quite well when the advocate was presenting on that aspect. So I wanted to ask whether or not the investigation will proceed unhampered in terms of the resignation of the minister. Thank you.
Okay. No, thank you very much, colleagues. Yes, let me start off with that one. Insofar as digital vibes is concerned, there's a line there, Babum TB, which says, may have performed criminality. I'm paraphrasing. That line provides a sense of lack of clarity, and unless of course it's the matter that you will be referring to the tribunal or court in the papers that you cited, and then we can leave it at that if that's what it means, and it's a work in progress. So if you can clarify on the question that Honorable Hadebe raises. The second point I want to raise, that I may have committed criminality, is in relation to the former Minister of Health. That's where I'm referring to. That's the slide where you deal with that. So if we can get clarity on that, just unpack what that means, and particularly in terms of the process moving forward. The second point that I'd like to make is that I think Sistombi Putpen, let us draft correspondence and dispatch it to all the departments and municipalities that have been cited of the 127 odd officials, each one to provide us with a progress report and an explanation insofar as how those disciplinary processes are concerned. I think let us jack up the interventions of the SIU in that regard, and give or take, give all of them some 14 days to respond to that, so that we can deal with the issue that Umam Dulashe is raising, these open-ended investigations and disciplinary processes, so that we can exert the necessary pressure in that regard. And of course, colleagues, I would imagine that we're going to file in a progress report to the House, as I was indicating earlier on, as we started the meeting, and then note that the final report is coming out on the 30th of November. So some of these salient points that have been raised will be in that report, but I think that they also offer a perspective of some of the issues that will actually have to be dealt with. And so what is clear now is that these investigations continue to be a work in progress. Umtibi, let me hand over to you, and then you can respond to those questions and give us your concluding remarks.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. With regard to the issue around the quality assurance, and thank you, Honorable Somio, for that question. In the value chain, the business process of the SIU, after the investigation is done, there's somewhere in the value chain where we say, evaluate the investigations. So by evaluating the investigations, we would also anticipate that that should be an element of quality assurance there. We will consider that part on how we implement it for purposes of these investigations, and give a report that would hopefully also cover the concerns of Honorable Hadebe in terms of this new allegations that are at such percentage. So there is an equivalent, I would say, of the quality assurance function, which we call evaluation of the investigation once it's done. And we are really thankful that the committee would consider really assisting in ensuring that the consequence management happens. Because we have said our observation is that the rampant corruption that we have seen has, amongst others, resulted from the culture of impunity, that nothing will happen to me. That nothing will happen to me culture has really to be ended by ensuring that we take action on all fronts in line with our outcomes. If we have to recover money from anyone, we have to do that. If we have to discipline everyone, or the accounting officials have to
hold anyone to account, they've got to do so. Equally from the prosecution side, and yes, the regulatory side, administrative action, including blacklisting. So if all these parts of the system work and work well, and they all show results, we are really likely to see the impact on the corruption. And I'm talking in all aspects, all parts of the system of the fight against corruption have to work and work well. And we are thankful for that. And thank you, Honorable Tolashe, as well, that consequence management really has to be executed. We appreciate whatever assistance that the committee can assist with. The resignation of the former Minister of Health, Honorable Hadebe, that resignation will not hamper the investigations. Again, as I said, like with all other allegations, we continue to get the information. Even after we submitted the final report relating to the digital vibe that we submitted to the president on the end of June, there are still allegations that are coming in, and we are looking at that, and we will be pronouncing. Well, in the report, we did qualify that although this is the final report, but should evidence come our way, which indicates into further areas, we will continue to look at that. And we are doing so. More particularly, and this will answer the question of the Honorable Chair, that statement that says may have committed criminal acts, we say so because we have found evidence pointing to criminal action. And that evidence was then referred by law to NPA, together with the others. We have said that we referred about 19 criminal referrals. 19 criminal referrals. So all of those parties that have been referred, the evidence will be evaluated by the NPA, and we are hoping that those charges that we indicate on slide 97, fraud, corruption, money laundering, that they would really be sustained and charges would be returned. As Mr. Leroux was saying, there is a team, inter-agency team, ourselves, SIU, NPA, and HOCS. They meet regularly to investigate these matters, and very soon we will see the results of those investigations. I would obviously not go deep into details on those. So those, Honorable Chair, would be the part of making sure that may result into an actual statement. Because when we say may have committed, it's because of the evidence we have found. We want to evidence to be sort of further verified, and then it can be actual so that charges are returned. At the special tribunal, we've got evidence that we have presented there. That is why we were able to now issue the papers. The evidence that we have, we are of the view it is sufficient and points sufficiently, has a legal basis for us to challenge and get the contract set aside, and to also recover the monies that government would have lost. And by the way, we did go. A preliminary action was to freeze the accounts. And to freeze the accounts also, there is a legal basis that you require. And it's really very, very comprehensive. And the judges require us to meet that standard before we can freeze those accounts. But we managed. We met that standard. We freeze the accounts, and the hearing will follow. We really appreciate, Honorable Chair, that the committee would then send correspondence to this state institution that really can just go to show that you know, we really want to make impact on these findings, and that those who are found in the wrong should be acted upon. And yes, after a fair process, a sanction should be made to then punish those and take them out of the system. Honorable Chair, there's just one point, but it's in some of the disciplinary referrals, the old ones. It just occurred to me that I needed to have clarified that. If I don't find it quickly, I'll continue to check it. It's about the referral that we made on the spokesperson of the president. In the presentation, and I'll find the slide. We are saying, there we go, slide number 52, just for correction and apologies for that, because we got this update after the presentation was sent. It's slide number 52 under the Gauteng Department of Health matters. The progress to date that we were giving is that the SIU awaits the outcome of this process. We have been given the outcome now. The outcome is that the disciplinary process was finalized. The charges there were, which we handed over to the presidency, was that the former spokesperson failed to declare her financial interest. And she was charged based on that internally, and she was given a warning that would, I'm told, in terms of the public service regulations, it will last for 6 months. I just thought, let me update this specifically, Honorable Chair. I appreciate that. In terms of my last comments, I would really like to thank the Honorable Committee for the opportunity to come and present our progress to date. The next report should really show some significant improvement in terms of the percentages. But as I said, the current report just shows that there has really been progress made, findings reached. What's remaining is to ensure that those findings are acted upon without failure. If we don't do so, then it would be efforts and money spent in futility, and we do not want that. So ours is to ensure that the findings that have been made and the referrals that have been made are given appropriate attention, so that the end-to-end of this investigation is then looked into and acted upon. I also want to thank my colleagues who are attending the hearing today. Chair, I need to just indicate that there's colleagues also from the Northern Cape. Northern Cape is a new office which was opened in on the 1st of April of this year. Chair, but it doesn't mean that Northern Cape province was not attended to. It was more serviced from the Free State office. But now we've got a formal office there. We have not really, there are matters already in the Northern Cape, which have really been now received lately in the investigation. And we will also, at the next hearing, make sure that they are also included. So, Honorable Chair, I would like to, on that basis, just thank my colleagues who continue unfailingly to ensure that these investigations receive attention at the speed at which the committee expected and the public expected. We really, in these investigations, we really demonstrated that we can attend to these investigations with the turnaround time that is expected, but of course without compromising the quality. The point Honorable Somio made, that we shouldn't compromise on the quality of the investigation, while we should not also lengthen the turnaround times. So it's a balancing act that we should do, but ensure that the investigations are done speedily, findings are based on credible evidence, and actions are taken based on the referrals. In that way, we will see the impact that we all anticipate. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. We appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Advocate Ntibi, and the heads of the provinces. And we welcome, of course, the establishment of the Northwest office as well, and look forward to interactions with them as well. Colleagues, I think we can leave it at that, pointing to the fact that we welcome the submission of the SIU as a progress report, leading all of us to that deadline of 30th of November to guide the work that is being done. And I think, colleagues, we really need to have a far more stern and more frank interaction with the NPA to impress on them the need of dealing with referrals with the necessary speed and urgency of the situation. What we don't want is these cases going cold and prosecuting for the sake of prosecuting 10 years down the line. So we do need to ensure that that happens, and one must, of course, appreciate the fact that there is collaboration between the SIU, the Hawks, SAPS, and the NPA, and of course the resuscitation of the anti-corruption task team is of equal importance in this regard, as we push back on the frontiers of corruption. I think, colleagues, knowing our own limitations within the parliamentary space, particularly because we come in at the tail end after the fact when things have happened, we do need to, in coordinating the work of these entities, ensure that at the very least that happens, to ensure everybody in the respective spaces is doing what it is that is expected of them, so that we can actually achieve collectively the outcomes of consequence management as we require. So I think we are satisfied with the progress report which has been given to us this morning, and of course speaks to very thorough work that the SIU has actually done. And of course this is just work on PPEs. It's not the other investigations that they are dealing with, and we will have to interact with those investigations as well. But I think let us have a particular focus on this one and then bring it to a logical legal conclusion, and then deal with the other matters as well. Colleagues, one housekeeping matter. I think the NOMSA papers have been circulated to colleagues, and I think we will be getting let me be specific. The NOMSA Constitutional Court papers that they have filed citing us there as well, insofar as SA Express and Danel is concerned, I'm sure you've received those. Honorable Van Minen, I have received your correspondence on Danel, and I will respond to you by the end of the day. I think the issues you raise are also important in dealing with these matters. So I think we'll get an briefing next week on those matters. So colleagues, please do go through those papers that have been filed, and the program for next week and issues, will all those things will be circulated to members. So let me take this opportunity to thank all of you colleagues, Babu Mtibi, and all your colleagues and our stakeholders, AG, National Treasury. As always, we appreciate and we remain satisfied at the work, at the progress as well, that has been done by the SIU in these investigations.
But of course, everything will come full circle once that report has been concluded. Colleagues, in the absence of any other hands, thank you very much. Have a wonderful afternoon. We will be in touch on all the other committee matters. On that note, the meeting stands adjourned, and we will meet next week, Tuesday. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. We appreciate it.
Oh, wait, maybe there is one matter, actually. Colleagues, one thing. We do need to frame an approach with interacting with the presidency as the people who ultimately receive these reports. That outstanding matter must not fall off the radar. So I'm craving for your creativity in terms of how we structure that so that we actually tie down on that. It can't be submissions in a vacuum. They have to be submissions which will result in process and progress. Otherwise, these reports just gather dust and absolutely nothing happens as well. So the presidency remains also fundamentally responsible, as we will also be touch basing with all those who must ensure consequence management to ensure that these things happen. Otherwise, there will be a dereliction of duty if they do not actually process these reports with the seriousness which they deserve. So colleagues, please do brainstorm around that and we can find an approach. But let me not hold you hostage. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.